Father in heaven, we thank you again for this morning, the service, the songs. Dear Lord, for that you have turned aside the things of the world to come this way. As we open this precious book again, we ask that you give us understanding, anointing us with the Holy Spirit of God. Help our mind be alert in these feeble days, Father, for you to get glory and honor and help us to learn something. May we never come to this place without learning something. This is our textbook. It's our book that shows us all about you. It's our book we learn how to worship you. Everything we know about you is found in this book. Even though we know as we read this book, it defines who you are. We know as we look at things through the universe that you exist. But this tells us who you are. Help us with it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. This is part two of the message that we started a couple weeks ago. And through the Father's Day, we had to delay the second part. And we talked about the message was to answer the question, why is there a millennium? If you look and not reading these verses now, because you read them before, verses 1 through down to about verse 9 or 10, you find five times that you mention 1,000 years reign. And for sake of time, I won't get it, would you read that later? Five times mention this 1,000 year, which is reigning of the children of God, that God promised Israel, that the King of Kings would be sitting on the throne of David and he would rule 1,000 years. We call that the millennium. So we define this as a millennium. So we said, why is there a millennium? Well, the millennium is going to show God to do some things that he promised he'd do. You know, God cannot lie. By the way, when God said something is abomination, you better believe it's abomination. It hadn't changed because we're living now in 2015 or 16. So whatever God has said, God's word will be the destructing power and condemnation to people when they stand before him rather than before some Supreme Court. So I'm just glad to know that in the end results, God's won. I mean, he sees the end of beginning. And I hope and pray some people who make rulings as of today get to know him like he ought to be known and wants to be known, and is shown in this book he can be known. But he's going to have this millennium reign. It's going to allow him to fulfill the promises that he made to the kingdom the kingdom of Israel. It's going to allow God to put Jesus Christ in all his glory on public display. I'm telling you, there's coming a day you won't see him through eyes of faith. You'll see him through eyes of sight. He's going to rule and reign. And the thing about that is, for where we fit in, who are in the age of grace, we're going to rule and reign with him. And God is letting us see this will be a time that the saints of God, those who are resurrected from the church, somehow or another, those who are resurrected from the Old Testament saints will be there. He didn't explain that to us. We do know that those in the tribulation period, saints, that have died during that time will be raised at the end because they're part of the first resurrection. We know whenever God raises Israel up, it'll be part of the first resurrection. Because there's two resurrections. One is in three phases we know of here in this time. And the second resurrection is those who are going to be raised to condemnation and be pronounced judgment on them forever and ever. And so this millennium is going to allow God to answer the prayer that Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. So the announcement of God's kingdom looks forward to the destruction of Satan's wicked kingdom caused by sin. And God's going to fill this earth with his glory. Now, sad thought about it today, there are times we see God's glory. It comes down. But it's not filled like it's going to be in the tribulation, in the millennial reign. Because he's going to rule and reign. And Satan will not have access to it during that 1,000 years. And that's what we see in the first two verses here in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. So that time, we said two weeks ago, was a time that's going to be a peace. There will be peace on this earth during his time for 1,000 years. Man's tried to do that ever since the fall of man. He's not bringing peace. He have peace in little sections. But then look at our age. The more we've had, we've been in more wars just about than we have anything else as far as peace is concerned in our nation. And now it's come right here on the home front. There's joy. It's going to be a time of holiness, a time of glory, a time of comfort, a time of justice, a time of full knowledge in that day as Christ reigns. It's going to be a time of instruction. It's going to be the removal of the curse of sin for that period of time until Satan is loosed again, is set loose. And it's going to be a time of healing of the deformities and protection. It's going to be a time of no oppression again. It's going to be a time of no maturity. It'll be a time when reproduction will be produced by those who go into the millennium in a physical body, but they're going to live for 1,000 years almost. Be very, very few people who die during this period of time. In fact, those who go into the millennium reign from the that's alive in a physical body from the tribulation period will no doubt have some of those who have children, and they'll be born at the beginning of the millennium and live almost through the end of it. And some of them will be born within a couple, maybe a few years into the millennium, will be living at the end when Satan returns, or Satan is let loose again and God finally destroys it. It'll be a time the earth will soar in prosperity. It'll be a time when the labor in which is needed will be there'll be no such a thing as not having something to do when Christ is here. It's a time of economic prosperity. It's a time of increased light. And probably that's one of the reasons even the ground will produce better, because there'll be more light than there is now and divided in darkness and light. It's a time of unified language. Everybody will speak the same language. It's a time of unified worship, time of the fullness of the Spirit. These are just a few of the glories of that future kingdom that Jesus himself is going to set upon. Somebody said, never been such as that. That's right, they hadn't since made Adam in the Garden of Eden. But then it's going to happen. Why? Because the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, is going to rule, not just some little handmade puppet that Satan put on the throne somewhere or another. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm talking about a time that you and I can't even grasp because it's beyond our thinking. Now, the Bible teaches us that proper knowledge helps our faith. Look in for Ephesians with me just a moment. Hold Revelation 20. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. Notice what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, watch this, the spirit of knowledge, or spirit of wisdom, and revelation of the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding been enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. That's the child of God, according to the working of his mighty power. He says that in verse 19. Verse 20 said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. If you look in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10, you see that Paul rehearsed this a little bit this way. He said, for this cause we also, since we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'll be glad when I get there in that day and will really understand things like I've never understood before. I mean, now if you get anything progressively, you're going to have to study it and study it and study it and study it. But when you get the glorified body, you'll just have to see it and know it. Man, that'll be a quick thing, won't it? And it said, strengthened with all the might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness at this time. So here I see he's telling us that proper knowledge helps our faith in this life. Now, there's 3 points quickly I want to give you on this thing of why there's a millennium. If you go back to Revelation chapter 20, first of all, you're going to see this is a time of fulfillment of a prophecy involving Satan. I love to read this. Right now, Satan makes people think, first of all, if he don't exist, and then those he does makes him think, well, he's more powerful than about God, because it seems like he runs this world more than God does. But I'm glad to know that God is a loving, patient God, and he can step in anytime he wants to and alter anything he wants to alter. Because listen to me, folks, listen to me. God is almighty. Satan is not almighty. He'd like to claim he is. He'd like to make us think he is, but he's not. So first of all, there's a prophecy that's involving Satan. And the first we see they're talking about in verse 1 and 2, there's a heavenly intervention. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Satan run his course, but he can do no more than God allows him, because God can step anytime he wants to. He can step in. And he can stop him anytime he wants to, or he can let him run his chain as long as he wants to, but he's still on the chain. And so here at this time we see that this angel comes down and grabs him, grabs hold of him. He has power. It simply means he has hold of him. He said he laid hold of him in verse 2. Means he had power to take him and do what he wanted to. In other words, he's showing that he is the master of him at this time. And he tells us who this person is. Notice he says he's the dragon, old serpent, the devil, and Satan. You know, sometimes God tells us one thing, and other times he wants us to really know who he's talking about. And there's no doubt who he's talking about here. This is not some imposter. This is not some a demon of Satan. By the way, this is Satan himself. God chains him and puts him in a pit for 1,000 years. It's a bottomless pit? That's right. Wonder why the name had a bottomless pit? Well, it didn't have no bottom. Amen? Aren't you glad you came this morning? You learned. So here we see he calls him this. He calls him these names. These names reveal his character. As a dragon, Satan looks for those he might devour. As a serpent, he ever seeking those that he may deceive. As a devil, ladies and gentlemen, he's a false accuser, always looking to someone to defame. As Satan himself, he's the adversary. He's always looking and seeking someone to defeat. But I've got news for you. He's going to get his end in the end. He's going to be put where he's going to be put. And from all appearances today, it seems like sometimes that Satan is winning. Listen, it seems like Satan won some this past week. In this nation, not overseas somewhere or another. In a nation that was raised in ways that were in turn God raised it up for us to know that there was one who was superior, Jehovah God. There were people in it who know God personally through Jesus Christ, in spite of what people say about Jesus Christ today. And who will one day see him, they will see him ruling and reigning because he is who he said he is. And so here he is talking about this heavenly intervention here. And it seems like that he's winning. But you know something? Appearances can be deceiving. You ever heard that? Appearances be deceiving. This past couple of weeks, appearance is deceiving. Because whatever one may decide to rule a nation, you can't go against God and leave God out and come out best. You know, wait, preacher, wait, see, that's what's wrong with you people. You're talking about, we believe in God. Yeah, but not the God of this Bible. Not the God of this Bible. Because if you believe the God of this Bible, you're going to try to conform and be transformed to what this God of the Bible says. But anyhow, it goes to show you, it's very easy to be deceived in our day. Now, God would have the last word in this matter. Satan is not all-powerful. He's very powerful, but he's not all-powerful. So we see there's a heavenly intervention. The second thing I see about Satan here, there's a heavenly incarceration. I mean, this angel removes Satan from the earth. I don't know if he's struggling or whatever he's doing. He don't have the power to do anything but do what this angel says do. He puts him under arrest, so to speak. And here, can you imagine a world that no devil ended at all? We've been in it so long, we can't even imagine that. Just think, no one around to test us, no one to tempt us, no one to whisper lies about us, no one to remind us how sorry we are sometimes in this life. No one setting traps for us all the time to fall into. I'm telling you, without the devil, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, without the devil himself being here, even without Christ being on the earth, without the devil, you'd have more peace than you got now if he was put aside. But in that day, we'll have peace, we'll have prosperity, we'll have joy, we'll have holiness, we'll have blessings in the order of that day, because that's what the King and our Savior is going to do when he sets up this ring here. When the earth itself, while it's in this, Satan's in this absence, I wonder what he's going to do. I know this, he's going to be in torment. He's going to be in torment. But wonder what he's going to do. You know, by the way, folks, Satan knows he's going to be out a little season. He reads this book better than you and I can. In fact, he probably reads more language than you and I can. So he knows he's going to be let loose. He says it, the Bible says in verse 3 and 7, he must be let loose, God says. God has something at the end of the age to show the last test is going to be. And he lets him loose, in verse 7. And so he's in the bottomless pit now. This seems to be an ancient prison where certain demons were put at. And we see, if you look in Revelation chapter 9, go back there and read, you'll find when that pit was open, terrible demons came forth to torment people on the earth. Now, Satan's going to be confined there for 1,000 years. What will Satan be doing for that 1,000 years? Well, out of the suffering he may go through, he probably is going to try to, come up with some way to do what he's going to do at the end. He's probably plan is to release for a short season after 1,000 years what he's going to do during that time. I believe he's setting it in this pit before he even goes into the lake of fire. And even though he's in a tormented place, I believe he's thinking somehow or another he's still going to defeat God. He's got a mentality, folks, that's just about unbelievable for someone who believes there is a God. One thing is for sure, he didn't take much time when God released him. And then it bothers me that, in fact, here's a perfect society, or a society in life where there's absolute peace. There is no test. There is no way to bring out the nature of man, because the King of Kings is ruling and reigning, and God's saints who are in glorified bodies are ruling and reigning in positions with him on this earth, while we have these people came out of the tribulation period in physical bodies, reproducing just like we are today. Can you imagine that in the last 2,000 years, how much has been reproduced, about 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and we have 7 billion people now on the earth, ladies and gentlemen, and death has invaded probably a lot more than that. But there won't be much death there. Can you imagine on this earth the number of people be born in a physical body if most people that's born live and don't die and live up to be 800, 900, close to 1,000 years old? There'll be a lot of folks here on this earth. And you know what? Keep in mind, everyone that's born physically during that time has never been tested. Never been tested. So they're going to go along with the flow. Some of them will do that at that time. And so here we find that he's released. So that's a prophecy involving Satan. Number two, I want you to know the millennium will be a prophecy involving the saints with the saints of God. And you see that in verse 4 and 5. The saints are going to reign with Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that don't mean we're just going to live here. That means we're going to rule and reign with him. It says to us, God is an organized God. There's going to be positions on this earth for the glorified saints to rule and reign. And what we do now will probably depend upon, be the deciding factor when God puts us in those positions over there. So I think everybody will say, Lord, I don't know what title I got, but I want to be sure I'm faithful, and I want to be sure I'm using it for you before I use it for anybody else. Because if not, then no telling where one will be over there, but all will have position. This is what this is for, to let us understand we're going to rule and reign with him. And faithfulness now will bring that out then, in that day, because we have a glorified body, and whatever we're at that time, when we stand before God and rewards are passed out and the positions are made according to what rewards we've got and how God judges us at the bema seat of Christ, then that's where we'll be at in that position over there. And so here, there's a prophecy of the saints. God's saints are reminded of the events that leads up to the ruling with Jesus Christ. I mean, first of all, we know the rapture takes place, and we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for the church. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we go to the judgment seat of Christ to be judged and rewarded. And out of that, rewards will come places in the millennium before we migrate into eternity. Then they're going to join him with the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19. Then Jesus will return to this earth in Revelation 19 also, bringing back his people with him to this earth to defeat his enemies. He's going to establish his kingdom and allow the privilege of reigning with him 1,000 years. As a matter of fact, if you look with me in 2 Timothy, you'll find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about this, down about verse 12. He said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. The word suffer means if we endure persecution. If you endure persecution from him in any form or fashion, we're going to reign with him. He also tells us in Revelation chapter 5, where we're hit now, in verse 10, he said, And he has made us unto our God kings and priests. And ye shall ring on the earth. Notice, Jesus Christ has made, hey, are you saved this morning? Jesus Christ has made you and me kings and priests for that day. And we're going to rule with him. That's what he says in Revelation chapter 5. So there's no doubt about what's going to happen in that day. We see it by faith now, but it's going to migrate into sight one day in the near future. So we see that. And I wonder, where will we be posted at? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a figure of imagination. This is a reality of a reign. The saints are being rewarded. And we know they're going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. We know that rewards will be passed out also. We also know that here we see those who endure the hards of the tribulation period in this too, in the latter part of these verses we've been looking at. This is a period of time when these in the tribulation period, their testimonies are not tarnished. They did not tarnish their faith when it come to denying their faith when they were tested. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have not seen anything Little things keep us from serving God. Little things keep us from doing something for God. Little things keep us out of the house of God. Can you imagine this day, though? These people will die for the cause of Christ to keep their testimony. These people will have, you're talking about, it'd be worse than what you see in Iraq and places like that. I'm telling you, you can't imagine what's going to be these who come out of the tribulation period through death and therefore be raised up again in that day. Some of these saints died during the tribulation period but are resurrected. Others live at the end of the tribulation period and are allowed to go into the millennium reign. We don't understand. Some people say Daniel 7:27 seems to promise the Old Testament saints might reign during this particular time. He never tells us about the Old Testament saints completely. It's all speculation. But he does tell us about you and I who are the church. He does tell us what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and when he was here before he ascended back to heaven, what happened after his resurrection. He does tell us that there is a resurrection in a tribulation period. And he does tell us there's a final resurrection, which is called the second resurrection. And he said those who have part of the first resurrection don't have to worry about the death of the second resurrection. Everyone in the second resurrection is going to die and end up in the pit of hell. And we see that in the last verse of chapter 20, verse 15. And so here they find themselves being in an atmosphere that never could think they could be in. Imagine a world where there's no devil. Imagine you and I, even during this particular time of the millennial reign, somehow or another. Imagine a world, even the Old Testament saints are not ruling. No way can tell. I've looked a lot. I've read a lot. No way I can tell. They're going to be somewhere or another, I know. But it's known fact, pinpoint exactly. Only God knows, and it didn't matter to us anyhow, because that was before our time. If you have some ideas on that, good. I have some ideas on it, but I can't prove any of it, so I'll just keep them to myself. So imagine a world where there's no devil. Can you imagine walking down the street and seeing Adam and Eve? Can you imagine walking down the street and seeing Abraham and Isaac and David, Moses, Elijah, Elias, the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, and John? That would be a fabulous thing to me. I don't know about you. Now, I don't put him above Jesus Christ, because we'll see him when he comes back. No doubt about that. But I'm talking about just sometime in the future in heaven walking down the street. And it's an amazing thing, too, about some people who talk about those streets of gold. And don't know, the other day, it didn't say that God paved those streets with gold. He made them gold. You pave something, there's already something underneath it. I've seen somebody doing a paving a parking lot out here. They pave a parking lot, they put a bed down, but they put the pavement on something underneath it. God's going to make these streets out of pure gold. They're not going to be paved with gold. They're going to make them out of gold. Thin gold, what you can see through as the sun shines through it and the universe, it'll glow magnificent in colors. You can't even imagine what it's going to be like. The sun will just shine through those golden streets that God made on the other side. And they're real thin, and yet they'll simply hold us up wherever we may be at. I thank God Almighty. You see, the resurrection of these saints is taking place. He tells us that. He said, blessed are the rest of the dead, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And then he said, blessed are the holy and those in verse 6 that had part of the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you're part of the first resurrection, the second death has no power on us. Amen. Isn't that a thing, ladies and gentlemen? You think about hell and the lake of fire, it has no power on us. Why? Let me tell you about the blessed Savior. Let me tell you why he needs to be reverenced and adored from the depth of our heart. He paid the sin debt that you and I might be called children of God. Don't ever be ashamed of his name. Don't ever be ashamed of his name, because without him we have no hope with God. Amen. I'm grateful to see. So I see this. These two witnesses were there, these two resurrections were there in John 5:29. But if you study that, you'll find there's a 1,007 years difference between the first resurrection and the second, which has to do with those who are being resurrected to damnation. 1 Corinthians 15:23 said, every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Those who are in the first resurrection would have have to endure the second death, according to verse 6 of chapter 20. Yet those who reject Jesus Christ as Savior will face Jesus at the great white throne and spend eternity in the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20:15. You know what, folks? I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to be sarcastic here. If I were you, I'd do everything that I could in my power to see that I was in that first resurrection. Amen. The only thing about it, you can't do anything about it, but to believe what God says and do what He said to do. And then number three, there's a prophecy about sinners. There must be a reason that Satan must be loosed during that period of time, according to what he said in chapter 20, verse 3 and verse 7. He must be loosed in verse 3, and he was loosed in verse 7. So here, even after God had proven to the devil countless of times, God is stronger than the devil. God is more powerful than the devil. Satan still continues in his stubbornness, rebelling against God. God has destroyed every plan he launched out since he was created. He's been destroyed. And yet Satan still stands in defiance and open rebellion to the Lord. Why should he be surprised? Or why should we be surprised if he still makes the world rebel against him after Christ rules 1,000 years? He is one that can, that's what sin does. It's so personified itself in Satan that he is a mass of sin. And he rebels against God every time. His armies, after the world has peace, after the world has had no poverty, no disease, no war, where Satan gets his vast army together, and the Bible says in verse 8 and 9, he gets them as the sand of the sea. That means there's thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of them. I don't understand that. We got 7 billion people face on the earth today, and they're dying. That means they've been reproduced more than dying. But suppose no death had taken place in the last 1,000 years, wonder how many we'd have. Well, why has this happened? God's not going to let anyone end up with him in eternity, even though he sets a kingdom up on this earth, without having the new birth, without believing the record of God's Son. And this test will get that. These people who follow Satan at this time ends up in the lake of fire. These people who make this final decision has no chance to go to that wonderful glory of heaven that we see after this when the new Jerusalem comes down. And so, Satan's armies, why would anyone fall into the devil's lie and rebel against God after such a society as this? Millions, ladies and gentlemen, of believing Jews and tribulation saints enter into the millennium in flesh and blood bodies. Those who die will be resurrected and rule before the millennium goes in. But these that go into the millennium, out of the tribulation period, will go into it in fleshly bodies. Let me tell you something. They will marry and have children. And I've got news for you. It'll be a man and a woman. Amen. Why? Jesus sits on the throne. And you say, but wait a minute. Somebody said the other night about what happened here. If Jesus here wondered what he'd do, I tell you, he'd do what he said he'd do in Matthew. Same thing that God said in the book of Genesis. Same thing he said in Deuteronomy. God doesn't change his mind. He loves people. I don't understand how we can think that God would come like us because we live so long in this life. And I say that this is a great thing. He's the Prince of Peace. Earth population will explode due to the earth's atmosphere. Lives will live to be up to 1,000 years old. Even living with glorified saints and with characters of the Old Testament and New Testament, many will be saved. While Christ reigns, many will be forced to live. Listen to me. You say, well, I don't understand if Christ is ruling and reigning and they have this heart that's not been tested, or it's the nature of Adam and that's what they have. That nature of Adam is going to be tested. I don't understand, preacher. Why is it they go along? Well, you remember studying those here on Wednesday night? A few weeks ago, we talked about Hebrews chapter 6, and the word partakers in that meant to go along with. And we said, Judas Iscariot was one of the greatest go along with you ever seen. It with Christ 3.5 years and the apostles, and knew what was in his heart. He went along with everything that Jesus did and said. In fact, you don't find when he sent the disciples out, he even had power evident to do some miracles. And yet his heart was not what it should be. Well, what's happening in this case, they'll go along with everything. That is, they're partakers in that, they're ringing partakers of that ring for 1,000 years. And they go along with everything that Jesus says and does. But in their hearts, they rebel, still needing a Savior. How in the world can they rebel then? See, its final act, ladies and gentlemen, is to test those who are born physically during the time of the millennial reign. And when he tests those, there will be many who will believe Jesus who he is. But once Satan gives them an alternative, look at Christ, he's been with 1,000 years or up to 1,000 years, and look at what Satan offers, he still convinced them from their heart that's evil and wicked, even though they've been under that atmosphere. He'll convince them that Satan has more to offer than what Jesus does, just like he convinced Eve that she had God had that he had more to offer than what God had to her. And when they make that one decision, that's it. They're doomed and they're damned. And God says he lets fire fall out of heaven against them at this particular time. You see, man can conform to this world system. But ladies and gentlemen, man cannot transform himself. God has to do that. And he needs transforming for God's permanent conforming. He can't transform into something that he's not. God has to do that. But once God transforms him, then he'll not be partakers of that which is a satanic. Then he'll be conforming to that which is the image of God's Son. I thought about, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when we get to heaven, or get there in that time, or even to heaven, there won't be no medicine, no doctors. Well, I'll tell you what's true. I hate to have disease, but I'm near about scared to death taking medicine nowadays. I mean, everything seemed to work. You hear him talking about? I mean, it seemed like he came out with something new. He's saying, you take this, but be sure, watch this out. Now, watch out. It may destroy the kidney. It may do this. It may destroy your liver. It may do, hey, I'd rather go ahead and have the disease than about take the medicine. I mean, everything you think about, if it kills this, if it takes care of this, you'll die with this. I'm glad there. God's going to let it go back like it was. Thank God. Lord, I believe you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'll say this, and I don't say it because I don't believe it, but I'd be very shocked if it didn't happen like you said it happened. Because I believe it's going to happen. I believe it for my soul. If had not, I believe that, I just believe that 55 years of this stuff would have been, two or three years would have been enough, like a lot of people, if it won't suck. That which is so sticks to you, folks. That's all there is to it. And Satan raised this vast army. They don't have a chance. God ends the battle by raining fire and brimstone from heaven. And in a moment, they're dropping off in the pit of hell. According to these verses, Satan is cast in the lake of fire. He says where the false prophet and the Antichrist are at. They're there 1,000 years afterwards. By the way, they've been in torment all that time too. And by the way, they have not been consumed as of yet either. Amazing thing. And somebody says sometimes, well, if he puts you in a fire, you're consumed. Brother Money proved that wrong the other day. God let a bush burn up. Burn, never did burn it up. Never found any ashes on it. It just burnt. And we don't know how long that bush burned, do we, brother? But it burnt. It burnt till God got through with it and he put it out. God's not going to get through with hell, though, in the lake of fire. I think he lets us see those little things once in a while, let us know when he said something, it will happen. Even though the world said, it can't happen. He set a fire, something's going to be consumed. Satan is cast in the lake of fire. When the smoke clears and the dust settles, the Lord God Almighty will have the last say in this matter. And I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. God wins. That's the end of the story. No matter what they may say, it's the end of the story. Now, which side are we on? It looks like times that Deb was winning. He's powerful. He's more powerful than you and I are. He makes some things look pretty good once in a while. If I didn't have this book, I don't know what I'd do. Because why he so sometimes sees more in line than what I see in this book until the Holy Spirit gets me to the point to understand what God's talking about. If I can't ever get to understand what God's talking about, I'm not going to see what he's saying here. And that's when Satan can really make us believe a lie as a truth. But this book, the Holy Spirit, I'm glad he didn't, leave us by ourselves. I'm glad in the age of grace he didn't say, I'm going to save you. You're going to have to get in the book and figure it out yourself. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Therefore, you're going to have some help, son. The world will look at you and laugh, and carnal Christian may do the same. They don't know how to use the Spirit of God's in them. But you're going to find out that I'm going to stick with you because the Holy Spirit's living in you is more powerful than anything else. And whatever you have to face, whatever you have to go through, He'll be there with you, even if it's death. Amen. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen. It looks like times the devil's winning the battle. You know, it's kind of like a little league ball game I heard about recently. A boy was sitting getting ready to play, and he was in the dugout, and a guy came up behind, and he's joking with a little boy, and he's sitting there. He said, "Son, what's the game amount?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Who's ahead?" He said, "Oh, it's 30-0. He said, 30-0? He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Man, aren't you a little bit discouraged?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Why?" He said, "We ain't got a bet yet." Well, that's faith, isn't it? That's faith. Well, that's what we are. We ain't really come to bat yet. I mean, God's just in a skirmish right now. But when He swings that last bat, folks, I'm telling you, He's winning the game. What a joy. Oh, the scorecards appear that we are entered into the 15th round. The devil seems to have won. But when the bell rings and the final round begins, King Jesus is going to deliver out the knockout punch. And I'm telling you, that's when I say, humbly, if I were you, I'd be sure that I was on the right side. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. And just give you a quick thought. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life are the entangled snares that Satan gets people into today, 1 John 2:16. And gets them to think that riches that this world offers are really the thing, when the riches that God offers are nothing. But did you know that riches in this world are only thick clay? Do you know I was reading the other day that said that gold and silver are only but white and yellow dirt, earth, that God has personified somewhere or another in making it? Isn't that amazing? Covetousness brings disaster and uneasiness to people in the end because of these things. And God says, I'm going to fill this earth with my glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of the Lord is the transcendental, omnipresent, spiritual, localized presence of God. His personality and power that's manifested, you know where? In His people, like you and I, until He steps out of the bounds of glory to come back to this earth and set His feet on the Mount of Olives. Right now, His glory is going to be seen in us. It's going to be seen. Somehow or another, how we face things. Somehow or another, how we go through things. Brother Joe, somehow or another, God is showing glory to somebody you don't even know anything about, brother. Some of you others have been through what you've been through. It's not God saw some glory of God in you you didn't know anything about if you're a child of God. Because I guarantee you, there's times you've been alone with the Lord in that isolated situation. Nothing matters except what God wanted to you. When you pray to Him, when you cried out to Him, nothing really mattered but what God wanted, because God brought you peace to know that He was there. There's nothing like that in this world. Thank God for Him. God's glory is seen when He shows up in a taste of His divine purpose in this life. But fallen man exchanges the glory of God for the glory of man. And that's what we've just seen the last 2 weeks. The glory of God don't really matter. It's what we want as human beings. And I say we because of humanity. We know what we're talking about. His sins blinds him in this world. All things exist for God's glory. Even man's creation is for God's glory. God said to the Trinity as they spoke together, let us make man into our image. Amazing thing about that. Images are erected to display the original. Images are to point out the original. So what happened is, God said He must make man in our image, which should be pointed out to the original. What you see in flesh is an image of what God is like that you cannot see. But something has happened to us because the image has failed. I thought about it this past week. 7 billion people on the face of the earth. That means, ladies and gentlemen, what God said in Genesis, there are 7 billion individual images of God walking on this earth. Most of them are fallen, but that's what they are. Through procreation, that's why it happened. And so it's very obvious. Fallen man has misused, has abused, and even has refused to be what God wants them to be. And boy, Satan came in and filled that vacuum. And he's filled it today to the place he's got thousands tricked and believe. And they'll tell you they believe the same God you and I do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't fear God in the sense it's reverential fear. But you know what? Think with me just a moment. These things that some people are doing, they say that God says okay, he says abomination. I do some little thing that you can't even hardly find. It tires me out of the frame. What's the difference? Do you find yourself that way? Not me, pray. Have you ever really snapped back at your wife or your husband when you shouldn't have? And God stroke your heart about it? You say, not me, preacher. Well, we want you to teach us a class. I guarantee you living together on the same roof for 50 years, there have been some words you should not have had, and you had to go back. Thank God you can go back and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I was out of control. That church bothered me. See, that can be my good. What's your excuse? You say, preacher, I want you to know I'm not that way. Don't try to deceive us. See, we live in the same boat. We're rowing the same way. And won't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be nothing. But I'll tell you this. I'm learning. I'm learning. And you will too. You know why? Because, and then it comes to other things. Not only that, but it can be where you work at, job. It could be something in your mind right now that Satan's working with, no one knows about, but you and Satan and God. If it's not what God said, get it out. Yeah. Folks, get it out. It's not worth playing with. Yeah. If you're at the very point about at threshold of something fixing to happen, you need to be sure. Get it out of the way. It's not worth it. You need to learn to say, I'm sorry. And ask God to forgive you. And if you'll do that, you'll find your life will be much... You see, we hadn't arrived yet, folks. We hadn't arrived yet. And no use for us to go around and nose in the air and think that we're holier than thou or somebody else. We're not. We're everything that God's made us, or we're nothing. God has made us who we are. And therefore, we need to look at people with compassion and love. And when you look at this fallen man, this seven being living statues of God, the image is fallen because man has misused and abused and even refused it like we've done the last few days in America. The only thing you can say, and I have a right to say this much so as they say I don't have a right to say this, the only thing you say, they misuse and abuse the system that God gave this country and use it for their own liking. But wait a minute, sometimes we do the same thing. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it possible for us to think different. We have a confinement of this book that God has taught us, the things that need to be thought and taught. And when we see those things, Lord, the only thing we can do is conform to them because of the transformation you did in our heart when we were saved. We're the images of God. But what we've done, we've tried to give glory to man rather than God. And the image is darkened. The image is frail. It's not been seen like God wants it to be seen. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you to know the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. If this word is hid in our heart, you give us understanding about things we wouldn't have otherwise. And I'd understand a little bit why Jesus wept over Jerusalem when he went to her in the Gospels, knowing the way she was going. And Lord, I believe it all my heart. Your people are going to have to get down and weep for you a little bit. Supplication and prayer. To see just how much we see what you see when people go against the right command of God. If there's any here this morning not saved, Father, I pray you let them see the only safe place in this world is in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we might not be destroyed, attacked physically, but the only safe place is Jesus Christ. For he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, we're living in dangerous times. Please help us learn what we need to learn, to do what we need to do, and yet love this world. Lord, we don't see what you see, and yet you love this world. Why can't we love the world also? And we can with your help. Those that we would talk to, that when we're telling about Jesus, that seem to think we're condemning them, help them see we're not condemning them. We don't have a right to do that. But I do have the right. I have an indictment from God to go in this world and teach and preach Jesus Christ. And God has made us a promise. He'll take that word to call the gospel and draw a person to the Lamb of God. So that's not condemning on my part. That's been obedient to what God tells us to do. And when we go and do that, then it's God who does the rest and draws that person to the Lamb of God. Lord, I believe there's a theory in people who say they're Christians today that witnesses is not something we do because they got this mentality God's going to save everybody in the end. And so everything's okay. But Lord, that's not what we see in the Scriptures. If in that case, you wouldn't need to give the church the gospel. Why would you tell us to go in the world and preach the gospel if you're going to save them at the end to start with? So we know we have to go, and then you will deal with those that respond to you, and it's out of our hands. Help someone today to see that need. Lord, I believe that probably maybe someone that may listen here and radio or you stream that are burdened about something, that the threshold of something. Satan hit them on the blind side. They don't know what to do about it. And Lord, they need your help that it didn't go any further. And to do that, dear Father, is to wake us up with the Spirit that lives in us, that we're who we are because of you. Dear Jesus, you don't know how much we thank you. Heavenly Father, you see our heart to know when we say thank you, we mean it. And Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us to help us see these wonderful truths and bears record to our heart that we are children of God. For it's in Jesus' name we approach you and thank you. Amen.